This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We are Dukes and Bell, guys. Make sure you follow us across all social media platforms. Like the radio station on Facebook if you've not done so. Of course, Instagram. And follow us on Twitter. It is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, and this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Hey, coming up, guys, we're going to talk about the Falcons a little bit this hour and certainly in the 5 o'clock hour in our Falcon Report, but the rookies this year, and kind of take a look back on some things as we look ahead to these championship games this weekend. A little jelly, not going to lie. I wish our team was playing. I wish our team was participating in some way, shape, or form. But we have the opportunity to get back to this point because the talent is still there. We'll get into that coming up,
Mike. Yeah, because Calvin Ridley is one of the tops of all the lists of the rookie performers this year in the NFL, and deservedly so. But, yeah, man, one thing about recruiting, you and I, we talked about this, you know, back when the early signing period first started, and obviously great haul for Alabama, Georgia, all the usual suspects. You know, when you're a younger guy, you know, you're 18 or 19, think about where you go back and take yourself to where you were as an 18-year-old. Right? You're not really knowing much about how the world works yet, right?
No.
You're learning some life lessons. You hadn't learned yet that people lie to you, that sometimes companies, salespeople, your boss, elected officials, whatever, they're not truthful. Sometimes there's some disingenuous nature to the conversation. And I think Jaden Hazelwood has just learned that.
Yeah, I try to put myself in these shoes because so much has changed. And what's really changed is, I think, first and foremost, if you have kids, you know this. Kids are more aware than we were at their age. Much more aware of not only their environment, of what's going on, but I just think they're more in tune to what's happening. Part of that is because they're more in tune to society through social media. So I go back, Mike, and I think about the recruiting days and seeing my friends, and I had, you know, I think we sent – I don't know, geez, 7, 8, maybe it was 10 guys, Division One, which is huge, okay? And then we had a bunch of other guys go D2 back then. And the recruiting process of seeing all these coaches show up at your school, and then, you know, and again, a lot of this has changed. And the letters, right, which is now text and tweets and stuff. And then visits. You had the official visits, which hasn't changed. And you go through this process, and it is a wine-and-dine process, okay? The whole idea is to sell you not only on the program, but how you're going to come change our program. And every five-star goes through this, okay? So Jaden Hazelwood, who was the nation's top-ranked wide receiver, Georgia boy, we know that, could have gone to Georgia, and they wanted him, they offered him. Mm-hmm. But he does this podcast kind of thing. It's called Ink Talk. And if you want to go listen to it, it's out there. You can go check it out. But at about the 10-minute mark, he gets into a discussion about how Georgia's coaching staff was fake. Not my words, his words. I want you to listen to a little bit of this.
They was trying to make you too happy, mm-hmm. and then just change when you get there. Like, right. I know that's going to happen.
Right. Because you look, the offensive coordinator already gone.
He gone, exactly.
He already gone.
And he sat down in our house and explained how he going
to exactly.
Gonna
right, how he going to use
then
you.
He did.
As soon as he's gone. Over, he gone.
What did I tell you in the house?
Yeah. You was like, they fake.
Yeah,
for worse than a car sales.
Yeah, that's right. All they are is car sales. Right. That's it.
Well, he's getting ink. That's why it's called Ink Talk. You hear the, you know, getting the tattoos, getting it done. Okay, maybe when Chaney was initially recruiting him, he did not know he wasn't going to be at Georgia. The circumstances change. I think young Mr. Hazelwood needs to know that sometimes there is a matter of timing, you know, and the time when they're talking to you is different from the time they make a decision to leave the program. But coaches do leave. Kids are locked in, although they've got more flexibility now than they've ever had. So, it's not a perfect system by any stretch. I get where he's coming from.
No, and his mom is the voice you hear there. So I'm going to read a direct quote from Hazelwood and then what he tweeted out to try and explain for folks who hadn't gone and listened to this whole thing in its entirety. Because, again, you hear that and you go, whoa. He says, my last visit, talking about Georgia, they were just trying to make you happy. He said they just, you know, they wanted to change when you got there. And I know what was going to happen. Meaning Jim Chaney. He says, I knew Chaney what was going to happen. Chaney sat down in our house and explained how he was going to use me. And then he was gone. And this gets back to you hear his mother saying he's talking about how he's going to use him, and then he's leaving. So, listen, Chaney left for Georgia or left Georgia for the Tennessee job last week. And, you know, according to Hazelwood, they had developed a relationship during his recruitment. This happens. And usually you get a guy, Mike, not because of the head coach. You get a guy, okay, taking you behind the curtain because of the assistant coach that has built this relationship with a kid, usually from his freshman year. They start talking, and all of a sudden you feel trusted with this guy who happens to be an assistant. And every now and then you get a call from the coach, right, once it's allowed. And then you build a relationship with the head coach. But more times than not, a lot of guys will tell you they went to a certain school because the linebacker's coach or the quarterback's coach or the tight end's coach, that's who they really had a relationship with. So this doesn't surprise me.
They made the connection with the coach. I mean, look, part of the reason in the national championship game that we talked about Justin Ross, you know, part of the reason he winds up in Death Valley is one of the assistants that was recruiting him at Alabama leaves to take another job, and he's kind of in the lurch. And then he goes up to Clemson, and that's all she wrote.
It happens all the time.
I mean, look, the kid is a young kid. I mean, guys are killing this kid for the comment. I mean, look, the world is your oyster right now. It's the only chance right now that you've got the you know, the high road. You know, and you got the high ground, I should say, where you can decide anywhere you're going to go. And he lands on his feet, he's going to go to a fantastic program. And if he goes and stays healthy, you know, make it all the way to the NFL. But, I mean, this is news to anybody who's a five-star recruit that these coaches fib. I'm not saying that Chaney was even lying. I mean, the circumstances changed. Circumstances change all the time in life.
Yeah.
A coach who might have been recruiting you might get fired, you know, too.
I love his explanation. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our Dog Report brought to you by BrightBox. I want to explain this to you real quick, at least what he said. He tweeted out the context of what he was trying to talk about. And he says, on the show, I clearly stated that I felt UGA coaches tried to sell me a dream on how they would use me in their offense by a particular coach, Chaney. And then that coach eventually left the school for another job. That was fake to me. And I said, coaches are like car salesmen. In recruiting, they demand loyalty from players, but then coaches are not held to the same standard. That's a direct tweet from Jaden Hazelwood trying to explain those comments you heard. Guys, I don't disagree with him. Now, the car salesman thing, I'm not going to use those words because I do think that these coaches care about your well-being. And, again, when you as a parent say, hey, I'm going to allow you to have my son, I'm handing him over, there's a responsibility that goes with that. But there's no doubt about what he's saying here. I don't disagree with it.
I mean, look, if the coaches sometimes like Chaney, like I don't think there's a Georgia fan. I mean, there's like a few Georgia fans, but I think the majority is kind of happy to see him move on up to Knoxville. You know, I mean, I think – regardless of how Hazelwood approaches it, this is the reality of big-time, big-program football where, yes, everybody is selling you that bill of goods. How many – we've talked to guys, man. We've talked to players a million times. They love you up until you get there, and then they own your butt, right? And then it's a whole different set of circumstances. Then the yelling and the whistle starts and all that other stuff. Look, I hope the kid's going to have a great time. I think he just comes off as a little naive. He sounds like an 18-year-old to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, his mom's there. I don't know.
Yes, a coach in a big-time program told you he wanted you to come to his school, and then he left to go to another school. Welcome to the big world. Welcome to college football.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
– and he didn't go to Georgia, so there's no harm, no foul.
No,
he winds up going to Oklahoma, where apparently he feels the love.
Yeah,
And it is legitimate and heartfelt.
With his mom there, I think they just felt like this is what was going on, and it was a bunch of crap. And they called him out on it. I had no problems with it, you know. And here's the part we don't know. Did Jim Chaney call him and go, listen, kid, I love you, but I'm going to Tennessee? I don't know. We don't know that.
Right.
And coaches have done that in the past with recruits and say, listen, you know, I've been recruiting the heck out of you. And you know that we want you, but I'm leaving. And maybe you want to rethink your commitment, you know. And that's when you see kids change their mind and go elsewhere. And you go, what happened? Well, the coach that they had that relationship with left.
Right.
It happens. It's Dukes and Bell. It's brought to you by BrightBox. Guys, we go on the sidelines every day.
I just don't like the word fake being used because it just – I mean, then it seems like there was a real effort for – you know, look, at the end of the day, it's one thing if Chaney in the 11th hour, you know, says to you, all right, you know what, I'm going to Tennessee. Now I want you to go to Tennessee with me. And if there's that connection, sometimes guys will follow that coach. But, I mean, look, again, he's okay. He's in a good spot. He didn't wind up in Georgia with a coach who didn't recruit him. It's at brightboxelectrical.com, 770-901-2500. You need a man cave, backup generator. Carl, these guys are money, and they'll save you some, too.
All right, what else is going on, guys? We did hear this over the weekend that the Dogs interviewed a top recruiter, but he turned the job down. LSU defensive backs coach Corey Raymond, if you didn't hear this, he was being interviewed, and a lot of people were saying, yeah, this is great. I mean, LSU's developed some great corners over the last years, a few years. You know, we talk about Georgia being running back U. You could easily say LSU is DBU, right, the defensive back. But he does not decide to take the job, Mike, so he stays there as LSU ultimately lures him back in.
Now, the Georgia Bulldogs, as far as, you know, with this defense, are you still concerned about Kirby calling all the shots?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, if he can do it and there's success and it's all good, but right now, I mean, I still wish there was some, a few more guys, and that's a lot of work. That's a lot of responsibility for one guy and one of the biggest programs in the country.
I think the reason why, and again, it's not the sole reason why Georgia's had success over the last few years, but I think, again, the trust that he had with Mel Tucker took a lot of pressure off of Kirby. He knew what they were doing, where they were going, but he also knew what Mel Tucker was teaching and preaching. Okay, so now you're going to take that on. I've seen Kirby up and down the sidelines like you guys have. In a game situation, and now you're telling me you're completely focused on clock management, things that are going on. Okay, so be it. I hope that he can pull it off. But, yes, I think that's a daunting task, and why I thought having a guy like Mel Tucker by his side was so important.
The Georgia Bulldogs, we talked about recruiting, how the perception. Remember we asked Seth Emerson, or was it Chip Towers we talked to a couple weeks back, about did this really hurt them the way the Fields thing went down? Only time will tell. Right now they're still sitting pretty with the number 2 recruiting class.
All right, guys. T. Martin is coming back to Tennessee. Did you hear this? Now, he was formerly the offensive coordinator at USC, not South Carolina, Southern Cal. Coming home, he is the guy, of course, that led Tennessee to a national championship. And again, Mike, he's not going to be the OC there. He's going to be an assistant on the offensive side of things. But he chose Tennessee after weighing several opportunities, including Alabama and Auburn, Louisville. These are things that have gotten out there. But I always thought that if he went back home, he would be the offensive coordinator.
Right. And then, of course, Pruitt, hires Chaney, who we just talked about, leaving Georgia. Interesting. I mean, it's a bit of a step down, but he's evolved for life, and he is the guy that got him the national championship. So, I mean, he's a great recruiter from what we've heard, but that is interesting considering that he was at a high-profile program in the Pac-12 as the OC.
All right, rumor out there that Paul Feinbaum and others are talking about Jalen Hurts going to Miami. You buy it?
Manny Diaz is really cooking things up down there, man. I mean, it's interesting. And he makes no bones about firing Rick's offensive staff and kind of setting a new tone and a new message down there. Interesting. If you can get Jalen Hurts down there, I mean, boy, oh boy. Because what are they missing? Quality. It's kind of like a miniature version of LSU as far as the quality quarterback play. There are other mitigating circumstances down the stretch. But ever since they got into that little quarterback drama, when Rozier got pulled against Pitt last year, that's where the bit of the losing streak started, and of course, culminating with that humiliating loss to Wisconsin in the Pinstripe Bowl. Speaking of quarterbacks changing locales, Brandon Wimbush going to go to UCF. And this, by the way, Carl, you know what? In the 2000s, this has become a time-honored tradition. You flame out in Notre Dame, and then you head down to Florida. For those who don't remember, Malik Zaire transferred to the Florida Gators 2 years ago with not a great deal of success. And Everett Golson also transferred to Florida State after Jameis went to the NFL. Also, not a success story.
No, not at all. Hey, we've got a lot more to get to, guys, including some Falcon conversation on the way. Coach Ron Hunter this hour at 40 after the hour, so stay tuned for that. Falcon Report, big story and all of that, but right now let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
STOCK, STOCK. Stock is the word. Text it to 72881 right now for your chance to win $1,000. I'm trying to give you $1,000 right now.
Right. And the way our stocks are performing, we could use it too. Stock, guys. Text that to 72881. Guys, we want to win some loot for you, so let's roll. Stock, text it right now and answer the phone if somebody's calling in the next hour.
All right, who was the standout this year for our Falcons? We'll talk about it, and how do we build on it next?
What happened to the band and the dancing honeys and all that y'all used to make me come in?
Oh, yeah, well, regular students don't come back for another 2 weeks, so not that they would be here anyway. See, we got you now, so.
Just another worm freshman, man. Welcome to college.
Yeah, that's all they are is car sales. Right. That's it.
Check it out.
Damn you, Craig! I had it out of my head until that moment right there. I hadn't thought about it for the last 2 hours. It's Dukes and Bell. I shared the story. I was in the car. The song came on. Hadn't heard it in years, and I'm like jamming out. And then it got to the radio station. I was like, dang it, I can't get it. Can't get it out of my head. What's that craziness song for you, man? That you hear it. And it just stays with you all day. And Craig's been playing with me because you played it early in the show. Mm-hmm. And then it went away. And I was like, fine. I mean, oh, it's finally leaving. Ah!
And then, you know, you mention it, and then I start, you know, waxing poetic about a time and place here in Atlanta. And then, of course, I get the text from the wife. Oh, really? That's what you were doing back then?
Yes. Yeah, you were single.
Yeah, more or less. Thank you. Yes.
You weren't married at that
time. No, I hadn't even met her. Exactly. No. She wasn't even in the town.
Okay, you know what?
It was a great time back then.
Listen, and I love your wife. You have an you have a right, okay,
yes,
to have had a life before you got married.
Damn right.
Okay? There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And she knows everything that happened. She knows almost everything that happened, okay, prior to you getting married. So what's the big deal?
It was an amazing time, Carl, going up the stairs of the Gold Club in Charles Oakley wearing nothing but corduroy suspenders and like a very strange outfit, throwing me a crab leg, not even knowing me. You know, it was a different time.
Here's what's funny.
The big show on the stage. People were just having a great time. It was just Sodom and Gomorrah at the Gold Club back in the day, to be quite honest with you. And the thong song was a big part of it.
Isn't it funny? Perspective. I'm in the car jamming to this song just from the... I just like the song. Mike equates this to a strip club experience, okay? Mike's like, oh, that takes me back.
Yeah, and by the way, if there's kids in the car, I apologize, parents. Again, just make sure you do well in school, otherwise you'll wind up working there. Back to you, Carl.
If you want a chance to go to the Super Bowl experience, and I think we need to start repeating this on the show over the next couple of weeks, we have no tickets.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. If you missed the show, and I got guys, like friends of mine, Wall Street guys make a lot more money than I am.
I can come down and buy
tickets.
Yeah,
like, hey, what do you want from me? And then, by the way, every day in my building, I live down the street here, as y'all know, they get these messages, you know, I've got a little TV screen in the elevator saying, people who rent out their homes will be persecuted to the fullest extent of the HOA laws.
Wow.
It's the HOA police. We're going to have, like, the condo commandos invading. We're one of those buildings where
Wait. You have TVs in your elevator?
Like we have in our building, a little screen.
Oh, that okay.
Oh, stop it. Like, oh, that's been around for 30
doorman,
years.
Doorman, TVs dare, in the elevator?
Yeah, that's right, pal.
Wow. Anyway, women, plurals. There's a bunch of them at his,
yes,
his desk. They have the finer things.
I like how he just glazed over that. The TV's in the elevator on my way up to my condo. Well, are telling me.
One's got
to
let you know where you're going. The other one lets you watch the television. But anyway, as far as, you know, that some people are going to make some money renting out their homes in Metro Atlanta. Or if your HOA allows you to, chance to do that VRBO and make a boatload of coin.
$150,000 a night for my place for any Saints fan. All right.
Who can afford it? Airbnb CD.
Yeah, if you want to. But we have, getting back to, you know, Super Bowl experience tickets. Now, we have those, and we're giving you a chance to win it. All you need to do is listen for the sounder, and you're going to have a chance to win those. It is, guys, a pretty cool thing if you've never been. Now, Mike and I were just sitting here talking about our experiences with Super Bowls over the years, either prior to us working together and then over the last few years of us working together. But it's always cool to get the kids out if you want to try to get involved with something, and this is one way to do that. You get free autographs from players, and you get a chance to take a photo with the Lombardi Trophy. You get a chance to have interactive games. So you can buy tickets now for the Super Bowl experience at Ticketmaster.com. For more info, go to Superbowl.com. But we'll give you a chance to win those. Just listen for the sounder. Hey,
it's starting to feel like Super Bowl, by the way. Giant Super Bowl logo graphic on the outside of the Westin now, downtown.
Okay, that's
it. And more and more signs as I'm walking to work today. They're starting to see the Super Bowl signs and everything that are hanging here right on Peachtree. So.
Yeah, is it downstairs?
They're on the streets as you come up okay. Peachtree. You can see a bunch of banners. Yeah.
And over our shoulder, right over by Atlantic Station, a huge stage which is being built for the Foo Fighters and all the other bands are going to be performing in that Saturday show pre-Super Bowl.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't paying attention. I'm always stressed about parking in this building, so I'm not paying attention to what's on the street. Falcons rookie wide receiver Calvin Ridley was named to the all-rookie team by the Professional Football Writers of America. Julio Jones, guys, was named to the all-NFL team, along with DeAndre Hopkins, that's of the Houston Texans, and Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints. Now, Thomas was just in beast mode last week. I mean, they had no answers for him, but he had a terrific season, but so did Julio. So, Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield was named the Rookie of the Year. Again, this is the Professional Football Writers of America.
Right.
Okay? Saquon Barkley was named the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Colts linebacker Darius Leonard named the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
No arguments there so far, right?
None at all. And think about this. Calvin Ridley, 64 catches, 821 yards, and a team-high 10 touchdowns. By far, he was our standout rookie and the most impactful rookie we had.
That's Julio's touchdown title total in his second year, 2012. So that's 10 touchdowns. And here's the thing. The one thing about Dirk Cutter, all the news coming out, Carl, people still in their feelings about, well, could we have gotten Gary Kubiak to be an OC and maybe not a consultant like he's going to do up in Minnesota? One thing for certain, I know that Cutter is going to be able to get the ball down the field in Julio's hands and certainly with Calvin as well, and Sanu for that matter. That's, you know, the vertical passing game has always been his calling card.
Yeah. So speaking of that, and we'll let you hear Dave Archer, who came on the radio station talking about Dirk Cutter. Obviously, they have a great relationship going back to his playing days. But, you know, everybody talks about the play calling and what it was and what it might be. Here's Dave Archer.
They've kind of leaned on what they know has worked in the past. And I think that you're looking at tweaking pieces of the offense. I don't think there's a restructure job. Dirk Cutter has proven he's an outstanding play caller, an outstanding offense when he was here. Certainly this year, the Tampa Bay offense was number three in the league. They do run some up-tempo, which I know people are excited about. That's something he let Matt Ryan do a ton of when he was here.
Now, the rookies for us, as you said, you know, obviously, you know, Ridley was the man. I thought, you know, Isaiah Oliver, that was a learning curve. Unfortunately, Bengals game, like, everybody's going to have those moments. But, yeah, I thought Deidre and Sanat, we didn't really have that high expectations. We thought he would be rotated in. Wasn't there even a game where Deidre wasn't even active this year? So not as impactful as perhaps we maybe thought he would have been. That's why we think maybe we need to go with a bigger size-wise complement to what we have with Grady.
Yeah, Foye Aluikin, how good is he going to be? I don't know. But he got thrown into the fire. And if you're saying, well, you know what, now here's a guy that we can count on. At least now I know what he can do. The Isaiah Oliver thing, Mike, this gets back to, I mean, do you want subtraction, addition by subtraction? When you start talking about, all right, who we're not going to potentially keep around, right? Who we're going to maybe let go and take the cap hit. And I know a lot of guys have talked about our corners. But, you know, again, I'm not in a place right now to feel like Isaiah Oliver can immediately step in there and it's an upgrade. If you're not upgrading the position, whether it's through free agency, keeping the guy you have and making him better, okay, or you're going to draft a guy that you feel is going to be better at that spot. And again, we're talking about rookies, okay, coming in and making that kind of impact. I just don't know that some people, you know, we talk to and Falcon fans are like, man, I'm ready to move on from such and such and such and such. If you're doing that, understand that's another slot that you're going to have to replace. I don't think the Falcons feel the same way, Mike, just internally, about the corners the way maybe we do watching them. Now, that's not to say there can't be improvement, but I don't get the sense that they're ready to move on from Robert Alford or, for that matter, Desmond Trufant. I just don't. Not at this point. Now, maybe next year, that's a different story. We get into the age factor and obviously, you know, less of a cap hit kind of situation. But I just don't feel that way about Isaiah Oliver, and I think he's going to be really good.
You know, again, they love the athleticism, the, you know, the arm. You hear about the arm length, you know, like, you know, Dr. Octopus, remember Spider-Man? He's got all the things that coaches love and are looking for. So, hell yeah, hopefully he'll get better. Like, I'm ready to move on from almost everybody in our secondary who's not a safety, to be honest with you.
Well, let me say this.
But you can't do that.
I want to say this because the Alford deal, here's the clear message, or at least the clear English as far as Alford is concerned. $9.1 million cap hit, number next season, okay? So you potentially save $8.5 million, right, by cutting him. So that's why people continue to go there and say, all right, listen, with Alford, he's carrying a $9.1 million cap hit, a cap number next season, and potentially to save $8.5 million by cutting ties with him, the Falcons could make a move and basically accelerate Isaiah Oliver's development. That's why that continues to come up. I just don't know if they're going to do it. I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, the rookie draft and the rookie class, we're talking about it because Calvin Ridley, needless to say, is an all-rookie team, by the way, this year. What about Ito Smith at running back? What do you think of him? One game, 60 yards against the Redskins.
Did you get enough of him?
No, I'm looking right now. His biggest total for carries was 13. That was preseason, 11 in the regular season. So, I mean, and unfortunately, the offensive line was just so bad. Other than that one Redskin game where we really, it's their most complete game, arguably, on the road.
It is.
But Ito Smith, you know, he also, you know, caught some passes out of the backfield. But, yeah, you know, you still want to, you like what you see, but you needed to see a little bit more, right?
I thought so. He, again, showed flashes at times, but was it enough of that? You know, I didn't feel like I saw enough of that. Now, was that
four touchdowns on the ground?
Yeah, but was that a function of the O-line or him not getting enough touches?
Yeah, I mean, you think that the kid, you can see the moves. I mean, you can see what, you know, if you go back and look at his tape at Southern Miss, the guy can make plays. But, I mean, when you've got a defensive tackle in the backfield, when you're getting the handoff, you're not getting anything done. You know, and a lot of times that was the case. You know, Tevin Coleman, you know, certainly was, and we're talking about rookies right now, but, you know, Coleman, there's only a few games where he got over 100 yards. So it was difficult for Ito. So many times we had to abandon the run anyway. We just became a one-dimensional team throwing it.
Real quick, I want to go back to Alford and bring Bo Morgan in here. The $9.1 million cap number next season, you cut him, you potentially save $8.5 million. The dead money is how much money?
$1.2 million. So that's what
they would be on the hook for
if he's off the team. So that's a big savings, and that's, you know, if you do go with Oliver or you fill in with the guy.
No doubt.
Where does that money go? You can use that money for an offensive lineman, another defensive. You can use it for a plethora of things.
Do you think Oliver's ready for that, to throw him in there? Now, again, no. You drafted him high.
Not necessarily, but a second-rounder should be ready to rock and roll in his second year.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you've got, you got Dan Quinn as a defensive coach, the coordinators. I mean, you know, he looked raw at times, you know, but then everybody plugged in. You could argue KZ looked raw, then KZ was really, really good by the end of the season.
Best playmaker in the backfield as far as defensive backs. What's up, Bo?
Jalen Collins was raw when he went in 2016. But look, the rest of the front seven was doing a better job. And Jalen Collins looked good enough to get you to a Super Bowl.
That's the thing. If we had a pass rush, it'd be great. But Dimitrov's idea back in the day was to build from the back to front. That's why we invested in Trufant and Alford, and we still don't have – we moved up incrementally this year, Carl, but we don't have a really solid pass rush consistently.
Guys, we will say this. Financially, if you were going to do something, this makes sense. You're on the hook for $1.2 million, and you save $8.5 million to use elsewhere. If you're the Falcons front office, financially, this makes sense. I just don't know if they'll pull the trigger. Hey, coming up, man, it's Yeah Man, No Man. And coming up at 5 o'clock, also, we're going to talk more Falcons and get more into what we learned about this season. Oh, my bad. Ron Hunter, Coach Hunter's joining us next. Thank you, Bo. Here on Dukes and Bell. Falcon Report, 20 minutes away, guys. We got our strong arm story of the day as well in the 5 o'clock hour. Stick around for that. Very interesting stuff today, and we've been talking a lot of playoffs. Brian Billick joined us earlier today, NFL Network analyst, and was talking about these playoffs, Mike. Interesting that he was talking about, you know, the Rams, and we're going to talk with Coach here in just a second, Ron Hunter, but Brian Billick was mentioning, you know, the Rams showed a different dynamic. Everybody thinks they just spread you out, and they got to, you know, force golf to beat you. And if they're able to run the ball like they did last week, they're gonna be in the game with the Saints. There's
and
no doubt.
He agreed with us about Sheldon Rankins and what a big hit that is to the Saints defense. And they picked up a journeyman free agent who had been with the Rams too, so they're gonna got to fill that spot. But this late in the playoffs to lose a big run stopper like that, it's a big hit. But anyway, plenty more on that in the Falcons and the NFL Blitz right here on 92.9 The Game.
All right, Coach, I know you're a big football fan. Do you have time to watch any of these games on the weekend like last weekend? I know you're getting ready for games and you guys are playing, but. Do you have one eye on these NFL playoffs?
You know, I do. I love football, and so I had a chance yesterday, especially to sit down and watch the games.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Ron, you can't be all about, you know, basketball. You got to decompress. And by the way, holy shnikes, are they killing it right now? I don't want to like jinx it or anything, but if you haven't been following Georgia State, undefeated at home, first place in the conference.
Hey,
hear it right here on 92.9 The Game and WAOK, but. Things are good right now, Coach.
We're not going to talk about that, man. You know, you start speaking on stuff.
I know, I know, I know, I know.
No, it's going well. Kids are doing a good job, but and like we said, we're just trying to follow this process and find a way back into that NCAA tournament.
Got a 6-game winning streak, Carl. I'm sorry, I'll shut up.
Okay, Mike, see? You know what? He said we weren't going to talk about it.
It's the second best start ever in Georgia State Panther history.
Mike, he said he wasn't going to talk about it. And here you are talking about a 6-game win streak and the best.
What's it? What is the best start ever?
Second best start
you
in Panther history.
You said you weren't going to talk about it, Coach. I'm sorry. Up. We apologize. We don't normally do these kinds of things.
No, it's okay. Like I said, we're gonna lock in right now. So I heard nothing you guys just said.
Okay, right. Tell us about the charity you're involved in. What is it? Timeout for Win. Timeout for the Win.
Yeah, and basically all it is that college coaches around the country were again trying to get votes and people text in or call whatever they need to do to get that. And basically what we're trying to do, you're raising money for your charity. And, of course, my charity is with Samaritan's Feed. And so, basically, you know, coaches around the country. And I think the winner gets $100,000 to his charity. And it gets kind of spread out. So something we've done in college basketball now probably for the last 5 or 6 years. And started at a Final Four about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's just a great thing that brings kind of all the college basketball coaches together, all the fans together, where, again, you know, you kind of get votes, but, again, we're raising money not only for each year, but the main charity it goes to is Coaches Versus Cancer, because that's one of the things we're just trying to be. We're trying to make sure that that we can fight this cancer deal and do a great job with that.
It's Ron Hunter with us, guys, and he joins on the WadeFord.com hotline, head coach of Georgia State. Ron's also been the head of the College Basketball Coaches Association. He's well thought of around the world of basketball. Let me ask you this. We can't talk about your win streak and all the things that are going on. Let me do big picture. Saw the Duke-Syracuse game last night. Why is that 2-3 zone so difficult for some teams?
Well, you know, again, I think that most coaches around the country are comfortable and they play their man-to-man, and all of a sudden, you know, you get thrown against a zone. You don't prepare for it much. You don't prepare for it in the off season. You don't prepare for it. You know, of course, that's what we do. You know, it's not a 2-3, but it's more of a matchup zone, and it just causes a lot of problems for people. You know, one of the things that, you know, and everybody likes a 3-point shot, but you know, at the end of the day, if you're forced to shoot nothing but jump shots and it takes away part of your inside game, it just it could really, really be an effective tool for programs.
Coach, you guys were up 21 against Louisiana Monroe in your last contest. You end up winning the game by a small margin, 2 points. What happened? And then how do you keep these guys focused? Because what we're seeing, to Mike's point about what we're not talking about today, 6-game win streak, is you guys are getting in front of teams. And I'm not going to say, are you taking time off? Like, okay, we're in control of this game. What happens in those situations?
Well, you know, again, I think one of the hardest things to do, you're up 20, 22 on the team, and, you know, you realize that you're going to win the game, and then, you know, automatically what happens, the guys just kind of let up a little bit, and, again, that's one of the things we're trying to teach is, you know, keep playing, but again, remember, we're still dealing with 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, and so that's been one of the hardest things when they, you know, they feel like they got a team beat, and they just kind of relax, and then we played a good team that all of a sudden made shots, we stopped making shots, and you know, fortunately, we were able to hang on and win the game. But you know, that's something that we got to continue to learn from. We've had that 3 or 4 times this year where we had the big leads. But we also were on the other end of it where we were down 22 at Alabama, and we came back. So it's just one of those things that, you know, not just with Georgia State, but, you know, really with college basketball, that's one thing, because you're dealing still with, you know, with 18, 19, or 20-year-olds.
Taking on South Alabama, 2 days away from that matchup. So, again, you got things cooking. In all seriousness, you're feeling good. I mean, where does this team rank about some of the players and some of the teams you've had there at that school?
Well, I think that's yet to be seen. We'll see that at the end. I like this team a lot. I love the veteran leadership that we've got. I love the talent that we've got around there, the depth. You know, and I'm not ashamed to say we got a really good basketball team. But again, you know, we'll see how this team finishes up in postseason play. But we got a while for that. You know, we keep talking about, you know, we're probably 6 weeks away from all of that. Right now, what we want to do is just get through this weekend, win 2 games this weekend, and move to next weekend, and just take it, you know, kind of 1 week at a time, and kind of see what happens from there. But again, I think that if this team gets into the NCAA tournament, it can really do some damage.
You've had and seen pros on your teams before, and obviously you've played against a ton of guys that go to the NBA. DeMarcus Simons is an NBA player. He had 28, I think, in your last game. What makes him so special?
You know what? He could do, you know, he really does it all. He you know, can rebound. He's a great, you know, with assists. He can really score the ball. He's kind of a poor man version of Russell Westbrook. Extremely athletic, plays downhill. There's no question in my mind that he'll be playing professional basketball. And playing it for a very long time. He is extremely, extremely talented. He gets it, you know, has a great basketball IQ, and it's just an extremely talented young man. And I'd be shocked if he's not a first-round draft pick this year.
Wow. Nice. And he's hitting the books too, man. Academics are doing well for him too, Carl. So Ron's got it's the world's – it's just Ron's oyster right now, Carl, right down there on Cortland.
Hey, Coach.
I hope so.
We appreciate you jumping on, as always. We always love visiting with you, you know. But, listen, things are amping up as far as college hoops is concerned. Super Bowl's right around the corner, and before you know it, it'll be March Madness. So, thanks again.
All right, guys. Hey, if you need me to do radio for the Super Bowl, just call me. I'm ready. I got all my stuff. Got all my stuff ready in the bag. So just call me if you need me.
Okay. Everybody's angling to get on the field at Mercedes-Benz.
We got you, Coach. That's Ron Hunter, guys. Georgia State head basketball coach. Mm. It is Dukes and Bell,
they're really kicking butt. Yeah. I mean, they're in a good groove right now. But I don't know about you. I get so super, super duper superstitious about stuff like that. You know, don't be present in the moment when you start talking about how good things are going. But it's hard not to when you're talking to coach about where they're at.
What's up, Craig?
No, especially since you said, he said they beat Alabama. You see Alabama go out there and beat a team like Kentucky and stuff like that. So you're like, this team, he's right. If they can get into tournament and win their tournament and get to March Madness, they can, you know.
Well, you know, we always say this with teams like Georgia State. If he wins two games, and think about this, right? You win two games in the tournament. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're in the Sweet 16.
Right.
Right? And everybody's talking about your program. You win two more, you're in the Elite Eight. And now you've done something really special. So he's got a professional player on that team. And if you've not seen DeMarcus Simons, go check him out, man. Give him some love. It is Dukes and Bell coming up 5 o'clock. We got the Falcon Report. We got an interesting conversation today. We've been talking about Kyler Murray and his size. And, you know, does size matter? Of course it does. But when you're talking about playing quarterback in the NFL, would you pick a guy that was 5'9", 5'10", and, you know, you say, well, 5'11", well, there's a bunch of those guys already in the league having success. But at 5'9", Mike, that's a stretch.
I mean, this is what makes it so interesting about the combine. This is where the rubber hits the road. You're barefoot. I look at the doctor's office. All right.
What, he's going to be 5'7"?
I mean, I don't know. I had him at 5'11". He shrunk 2 inches in 2 hours.
He's
5'9".
That's what they list him at.
ESPN's got him at 5'10". Oklahoma's got him at 5'11".
Get out of here.
I'm just telling you, I found three different height measurements for this dude in one afternoon.
This guy is 5'9", 190.
Hey, look, we were joking around earlier. Like, when we talked to Drew Brees, like, when I talked to Matt Ryan in the locker room, I've got to arch my neck to talk to Matt because I'm 5'8 in heels and he's 6'4". Drew Brees is like 5'11", but he's a lot easier to make eye contact with. But in the case of this dude, if you can make the plays, you can run around and hopefully avoid the big hit. You know, I mean, there's something to be said for that. I mean, Fran Tarkenton wasn't a monstrous guy either.
No.
You know, I mean, granted, the quarterbacks nowadays, Mahomes is 6'3". He can see over the line. You see a guy like Locke they like because they always want Trubisky. They want the big dude with the big arm.
All right. It's part of what we'll get into coming up in the 5 o'clock hour here on Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.